I'm getting distracted. Sorry, I'll say it on this side. Get serious. We're all right. A Jewish businessman from Chicago decided to send his son over to Israel to give him an experience in the culture and in the Jewish culture of Israel. So he sent him over for a year. And when his son returned, he says, "Papa, I have great, I had a great time in Israel. Oh, by the way, I've converted to Christianity." "Oh, aye," says the dad. He says, "What have I done?" He sent him. So he took the problem to his friend, Ike. And he said to Ike, "Ike, I sent my son abroad to Israel for a year and he's come back a Christian." And Ike says, "You know what? I did the same thing. I sent my son abroad to Israel and he came back a Christian." So they said, "We better take this to the rabbi, the Jewish leader." So they went to the Jewish leader in Chicago and says to him, "We both sent our sons to Israel and they both came back Christians." And the rabbi says, "Oh, it's a problem, is that? It's a problem." He said, "I sent my son over there and he came back a Christian." He says, "So we better pray." So all three of them knelt down, started to pray and told God their problem about sending their children to Israel and becoming back Christians. And when they said amen, they heard a voice saying, "I had a son I sent to Israel as well." Came back a Christian. Now, I think most people know, and I've asked permission if I can say this, but Sam is not the dad. We've talked about this, and I've asked him if I could say that. He's not the dad, but he's taken on responsibility as dad for Skye. And there's another guy in the Bible who did a very similar thing. His name was Joseph. Joseph, he was engaged to Mary. You all know the Christmas story. We often skip through it because it's a birth we like and the presents. But he basically was engaged, and Mary says to him, "I'm pregnant." Now, I don't know at what point she told him, and I don't know what went through his head, but it took an angel to come to Joseph and say, "It's going to be all right. It's God's son. It's okay." It'd have taken an angel for most of us men as well, wouldn't it? But for Sam, Sam's taking on a child that's not his, but he's loving and doting over her. And Joseph in the Bible loved Jesus. I don't know if this is putting pressure on you, Sam, but I mean, at least Skye's not the son of God. It's a bit of relief there. I mean, imagine being Joseph. How do you do that? And Sam and Tia have both working out how to bring Skye up and working. And for some of us, it's natural. Never were for us. But for some, it might have been. And when you've had 6, 7, 8 kids or grandkids, it kind of works out, but nobody has them anymore. My mum had 5, and she says, even by the 5th one, it just, there were always more problems. Another word of encouragement, my mum had 4 boys and then a girl. And she said she'd have boys anytime. She said, at least for 5, girls a different matter. But this baby that Joseph looked after is obviously Jesus. We know that from the Bible. And Jesus actually spoke these words one day, which is kind of profound. He actually stood up in front of a crowd of people when he was growing up. And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads you in life." So Joseph had brought this baby up, the son of God. And when he grew up, Jesus actually said those words, that he is the light of the world. Jesus also said lots of other things. Amazing things, almost profound mysteries in some of them. He actually said that he's the bread of life. You've got to work out what that really means. He also said, "I'm the light of the world." He said, "I'm the door for the sheep." He said, "I'm the good shepherd." He also said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he also said, "I am the vine." You're happy? I've only got 4 pages and I've done one already. We're doing well. We're getting through it. But one of the things that Jesus said, which actually has caused the most controversy throughout history, is when one day one of his friends asked him, says, "Show us God. Show us a way to God." And Jesus turned around and John, probably Jesus' best mate, wrote the Gospel of John. He puts it in there. And his friend says, "Show us the way to God." And that's not a bad question. Many people today say, you know, if we acknowledge there is a God, how do we get to him? And Jesus said this. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." To me, that's kind of very narrow-minded. Or it's true. It's either preposterous and a complete lie, or absolutely true. C.S. Lewis, he actually, concerning that verse, he wrote this. C.S. Lewis is a guy that wrote the Narnia series, if you like, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. He wrote that and the rest of them, which I actually like, the great cartoons and films, and the kids love them. But he said this: a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not have been a great moral teacher. He's actually arguing with that. Some people said Jesus was just a good teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level, I like this, in a level with a man who says that he's a poached egg. Or else he would have been a demon from hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or even something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He's not left that door open, and he intended not to. So either Jesus was mad or bad, or he was God. I tried getting the whole good, the bad, and the ugly in there, but I couldn't work out the squinty eyes and the guns and stuff like that. I couldn't work that one out. But Jesus, you know, if he was mad, I mean, let's put this idea aside that history proves that Jesus existed. History also proves there was a man who was called Jesus who was crucified. It's documented out there. Most historians acknowledge there was a man called Jesus. He was crucified. And there's enough documentation to say he rose from the dead, because I love that one, because many good barristers have wrote books about whether Jesus did rise from the dead only to become a Christian and believe it. And one of the greatest columnists, a newspaper writer, he wrote about it, how it was rubbish, and then he investigated it and left with one conclusion, that he did die and was raised from the dead. But that's that. So was Jesus mad? If Jesus was just totally mad, if Jesus believed he was God, then yeah, he was a complete liar and a complete nutter. But the things that Jesus taught, then it wouldn't add up. I mean, you know some nutters, don't you? They're just weird. I'm now coming to that point where I'm edging towards being near 100 than I am zero. I'm not quite there, but I'm edging that way. And I've got one conclusion in life as I steadily get older. There's a load of crazy people around, and they're getting crazier. Or maybe I'm getting crazy and they're quite normal. Who knows? But Jesus wasn't one of the crazy people. He didn't walk around dribbling or making complete nonsense. He spoke great truths that even our nations stand upon. And nations around the world stand upon the things that he said. So, you know, if he wasn't lying, you know, no con man or liar or hypocrite would actually walk willingly to die on a cross. I mean, it's okay having a joke, isn't it? It's all right having a laugh and saying something, but if it's going to cost your life, we'd back up, wouldn't we? I mean, some people, even if it were true, would still back up. But Jesus willingly walked towards the cross. He allowed himself to be arrested, because when they came to grab him, they said, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." He says, "I'm him." And they all dropped down on the floor. So he could have scooted. He could have run. I would have, wouldn't you? If they're going to try and chop his heads off or crucify us, we'd have been off like a shot. I mean, you might get your kids out there first, get them going, but beyond that, you'd be off. But Jesus, he stood there and willingly went through the whole thing. So he wasn't a liar and he wasn't a madman. But the only thing left is the fact that he's God. So I'm going to read a few verses from the Bible. And I've not printed them off, so I better read them from this one. And this is at the beginning of John's Gospel. You always expect people to read the Bible in church, don't you? Beginning of John's Gospel, it says this, talking of Jesus. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." Word just means it's another word for Jesus. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life is the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Those in darkness, we just don't understand it, it seems. There came a man, this is John the Baptist, who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men and women might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Talking about Jesus again. He was in the world, but though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own. In other words, he came to Israel first, because that's where he was born. But his own people did not receive him. Yet to all, this is the exciting bit, to all that received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We have seen, this is John's testimony, we have seen him, seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist testified concerning him. He cries out saying, this is he whom I said, he comes after me and he surpasses me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So the question was asked of Jesus, show us the way to God. And Jesus says, I am the way to God. I am the way to God. I'm sorry, I'm just getting excited because I've seen a trifle just go past. Quickly, end. Get rid of it. You see, this morning, we've not done a christening because we can't make her a Christian. One of the greatest gifts after life that God gives any one of us is freedom of choice, to choose or not to choose. And you've all got that choice. I'm glad you chose to be here this morning. I think you guys are glad they chose to be here. I think they're all your friends. Some may be busy, some may be worried, but they chose to be here and you chose to stay in. I know church can be a bit weird. I never grew up in church. So I had that awkward feeling of coming to church for the first time, that awkwardness. You know, for some of you Christians who've been a Christian a long time, you'd probably feel it if you went to the bookies. That's how awkward some people feel coming into church. Well, what do I do? What to say? What we're singing? But thanks for coming. You made a choice. That was good. But God has a plan for every one of us. He's got a plan for Sky. He's got a plan for you and for me. Whether you're a Christian or not, God's still got a plan for you. It's up to you whether you choose it. The Bible says this, famous verse, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, says God. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And let's face it, in our nation, there seems to be very little hope of a future. I mean, nobody dare even admit they've got cold anymore. Most people start going, don't cough, don't cough, don't cough. Because we're panicking. Yeah, it's a flu season, they tell us, and yet nobody's admitting to even having flu because they might get told they've got the other thing and we're all going to panic and grab the toilet roll as we run out. But God has a plan for everyone. He had a plan for my life, but I decided to do my own thing. God has a plan for Sky. He's got a plan for you, little girl. It is a girl, isn't it? Yeah, we'll dedicate you one day if you wanted as well. It's all right. Get your friendship going now. You'll be all right. But the thing is, not only does God have a plan for, but there is a problem. We all have a problem. The fact that the Bible says that we are all like sheep. And it don't mean we've got curly hair because I don't have any. But it says that we're all like sheep. We've gone astray. And each of us has turned to our own. We'd rather do our own thing. Stuff God. I'm out of here. See, I didn't grow up under anything of God. My parents had nothing to do with church. Also, it's kind of amazing that I am now a Christian. Two of my brothers are a Christian. My dad's a Christian. And yet we were very pagan growing up. And yet God still had a plan for us. God wants to be our father. Like Sam has taken on the role of being daddy to Sky, God wants to become our father, our daddy. And he wants to look after us, look out for us. He wants to love and care for us. Everything that you guys are expressing to your daughter, that's what God wants to be for us. And every good parent expresses these things towards their children, but the problem is the children grow up. And as the children grow up, they get the attitude. They only inherit the attitude from the parents, by the way, who gave their parents the attitude. And that's why all grandparents are always happy for, because they're looking going, now you're getting it. In your face, everyone, you know what I mean? We do, because it's amazing. I mean, my daughter, she gives my wife the same look. They look at each other, that same look. And we go, ooh, World War III is about to break out. But God wants to love us and care for us. He wants to heal our bodies, but ultimately, he wants to heal our hearts. See, people said to me, Johnny, you're a Christian, you're supposed to be perfect. Don't look at me as being a perfect Christian, please. I am not. I mess up. You know, and I'm supposed to be a vicar. No, I am a vicar. I am a reverend. I can wear the collar, but I'm not perfect. Inside, I hurt like everybody else. Inside, I'm damaged like everybody else. Inside, I've got scars. But one thing I do know is that God, our Father, wants to heal our hearts. He wants to take away guilt and hurt that we've been carrying around for a long time. He wants to forgive us, and he wants to give us a new start. But we do our own thing. And even sometimes we become quite courageous with God, and we try to make our own efforts towards God. You know what? If you give enough to church, people think, or if I go to church, or if I help out with charities, or I'm nice to my neighbour, especially the one nobody likes, then maybe God will bless me. But the Bible says this, that all of us have become like somebody who is unclean. That just pictures up lepers, you know, when you remember the old films, unclean, unclean. But that's what he says. And all of our right acts towards God, to God, are like filthy rags. So when we try and do good towards God, it's like filthy rags to him. We are all shriveled up leaves, and like the wind, our sins just carry us away. Because the problem's not really God's love towards us, it's our choices towards him. Some people think, as long as I'm good enough, I'll be all right. And let's face it, if you compare yourself with me, you might be better than me. And especially if you put our history on the plate, probably most of you are better than me. But in God's eye, that's still not good enough. God did the solution. He actually sorted out the solution. There's a guy in the Bible called Nicodemus, and he were a very religious person. I mean, at the end of the day, he'd have had the full gowns and the crosses and the big Bible. He probably did everything perfectly. But when he was talking to Jesus, Jesus actually said these words to him. He said, I'll paraphrase and we'll get to the main point. He said, you're not good enough. You're just not good. No matter how good you think you are, but there is an answer. And this is the answer Jesus gave. He says, for God so loved the world, and you can put your name in there. God so loved me as a person, you as a person, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, cast to hell, that sort of thing, but will have everlasting life. See, God wants to be our father like Sam wants to be a dad to Sky. Sorry, I'm not mentioning you tear that much. It's all right. You know what I mean? We all love tear, don't we?
Yeah.
How's that? He's feeding her, can't we? There's not worse, is there? When it's like, one thing that really gets in my head is, When they announce somebody's pregnant, they all pat the guy on the back like he's done something awesome. Really? If it weren't for the pregnancy, we'd have carried on trying more, you know what I mean? And when mum has the baby, they all congratulate the dad like he did anything. He did nothing, you know what I mean? He made the deposit and left it to nature. Mum carries it. So, Tia, you did an amazing job.
Yes.
You did. I mean, I can't say I don't know if she's doing it, carrying on and doing a good job, but everyone else thinks you are, so that's good, isn't it? Doing awesome. You are doing amazing. And I've completely lost where I'm. Oh, and this is what the Bible says, that while we were God's enemies, let's put it into Yorkshire language, while we were sticking two fingers up at God, God, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. While we were telling God we couldn't stand him, God made a way for us through his son, Jesus. I mean, you know that about the Easter story. So we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved from this life? People are panicking about what's going on. I said, we just need to trust Jesus and trust him and be there for him. God gave up his son. This is one thing I don't like. God gave up his son so that I could become a child of God. I don't know if I'd give up my son for anybody. Yet God thought enough of me and you that he gave his own son. Not just to die like a sheep that would get its throat slit, but to be nailed to a cross and crucified for me. I mean, people say, I don't know if God loves me. Well, that's a pretty good demonstration of love. I mean, some people don't even come near you if I'm in a bad mood. Yet Jesus came willingly, died for Sky, for you guys, for all of us, just because he loved us so much. And our response, what should our response be? He says, talking from the verse I read earlier, it says, Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, that's me and some of you guys, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to be children of God. A child of God means somebody who acknowledges God is our Father. And as a Father, he has input into our lives. People say to me often, you know, church is all about do's and don'ts. But realistically, it is in some respects. I mean, it tells us certain things. It tells us that one of the do's it tells me to do is do love your wife. I think that's not a bad thing. And she thinks it's amazing. It tells us not to nick. Don't nick from people. That's a pretty good thing if you're the one getting stolen from, isn't it? Don't kill. Don't murder, sorry. So there is some do's and don'ts. But ultimately, Jesus says this, love one another because I loved you. That's the only do that really is listed in the Bible for us as Christians, to love people, to love one another. In the end book of the Bible, now I know that we're doing Revelation on Wednesday nights, but we've not got here yet. But the verse where Jesus said this, he said, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you and you and me. Jesus puts out an invitation and says, guys, I'm knocking on the door of your heart. I want to become part of your life. I want to introduce you to God the Father, who wants to take responsibility for your life. He wants to help you in your life, like these guys are with Sky. And you guys will be, in time, giving input into her life. One day, Sky will have to make a choice for her own, a choice for herself. Like I said, I didn't grow up as a Christian. It was later on in life. My children have grown up in the church, but they've got a choice to make themselves. You've made a choice, some of you have never heard the choice. The choice is to accept Jesus or reject Jesus. That's a big question. And I don't want to put you guys under any pressure. I mean, we could get some music going, could put you under pressure, turn eating up, talk about hell, get everybody worried, threaten if you leave this building, you might get that bug and disease. But I'm not like that. But I would say this, check it out for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Check it out for yourself. At the end of April, we're doing an alpha course. And the alpha course is basically, check it out for yourself. And at the end of it all, check it out. And if it's not for you, it's not for you. The only thing is, anybody that checks it out for themselves often find out, okay, I think I need this. But it's your choice. We're not ignorant when it comes to buying a phone. We investigate it. Well, most of us do. Some people spend hours and hours investigating phones, and or if you're buying a new car or a fridge or a washing machine, if you're into that sort of stuff, whatever it might be, you spend hours. I say check out God for yourself, because your car might last 10 years, your phone 10 minutes if you drop it, if it's an iPhone. But check out with God, because that's eternity. If what I'm saying is a load of rubbish, it's no difference. We're good to you, aren't we? If Christianity didn't mean anything, if it were rubbish, at least we've been good. I'm better than I was. At least I'm not scrapping anymore. You know, I'm trying to, whatever. You know what I mean? At least my brother's not a drug addict anymore, and my other brother's not a drug dealer anymore, so that's good for him. So if it's rubbish, it don't matter. We've had a good life. We fade out at the end, and we all get eaten by worms. But if what I'm saying is true, some people have got a serious thing to think about. So it's up to you guys. Do ask. I've got the booklet. It says, Why Jesus? A couple of them. You might want to just check that out. Or read the Gospel of John. And I say this because I did this. I said, God, if you're really there, Jesus, if you are really out there, prove it to me. Prove it to me. And I started reading John's Gospel. And I'm not going to tell you how he did it, but he did it for me, proved himself to me, to the point where I've never had any doubt since. I had a friend who I said the same to, and I said, I'm going to pray for you for 2 weeks. After about 10 days, he rung me up and said, stop praying. I said, what's going on? He said, I believe there is a God. I goes, good, because I'll come around. He says, no. So after 2 weeks, I went round anyway. I said, what's up? He said, I believe there is a God out there. I said, what's happened? He wouldn't tell me. I said, so do you want to become a Christian? He says, no, I want to live my life my way. And I said, okay, that's up to you. But he could not stand before God and say, nobody told him anything. So this is Skye's day, or at least one of the days. She'll have the first birthday, which will be a big one. Second birthday, big one. Fades out a bit then to 13, and then 16, and then 18, and then 21. Yeah. I mean, it just every decade thereafter, isn't it? I mean, Sam's looking forward to next year because he's got a big birthday coming up. But it'll all be about Skye anyway, so. So for you guys, check out information. And if you want to know more about Alpha, have a look, talk to these guys at front. How's that, you two? Or myself, or Andy, it's floating around it back. Anybody that's handsome like me who's got a bald head, you can talk to them. But yeah, even Len. But check it out for yourself. Now I'm going to shut up. I'm going to pray. We've got some food at the back. I know it's only 10 to 12. You're going to go home later on. Someone's going to say to you, what have you been doing today? And you're going to go, oh, I've been in church. And somebody's going to go, I've been to church. And somebody's going to go, it were different. And you're welcome to come back. All of you, please. Every one of you, it'd be great. And I know people are panicking and stuff like that, but there's certain verses in the Bible that tell us we can stand and trust God, especially in times of darkness, and this is one of them. So let me pray for you all. I ask God to bless you, and then we'll close, and away we go. Heavenly Father, I thank you, but you want to be a father to us. Lord, as Sam takes on being a father to Skye, Lord, and Tia, Lord, just loves her like any mother would. Lord, you want to pour out your love into our hearts and bless us. Lord, I pray a blessing over everyone and ask that you will speak to our hearts, that you will show yourself. And Lord God, that people will know that you just love us so much. You're a good, good father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You survived church.